Hello, and welcome to Insights Edge from the Lagos Business School Management Hub. With our finger on the pulse of the business world, we're committed to bringing you insightful conversations with thought leaders, industry experts, and visionaries who are at the forefront of their fields. I'm your host, Emma Matar, and I'll be your guide as we delve into the latest trends, timeless strategies, and cutting-edge ideas to solve challenges prevalent in the African business landscape. Stay tuned. Welcome to Insights Edge, brought to you by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. Today on the show, we have Professor Uchenna Uzor. Professor Uzor joined us in February 2002. He received his BSc and MSc in Sociology from the University of Lagos and his Masters of Research in Management, as well as his PhD in Management from IESE Business School Barcelona. He is a member and reviewer of the Academy of Management, as well as a research fellow of the Scandinavian Consortium for Organizational Studies and the American Marketing Association. He also served as a visiting research scholar to Stanford University, USA. He is currently the faculty director at the Lagos Business School and teaches courses in marketing management, personal selling, sales and channel management, etc. His research was consulting assignments spanned several industries, focusing mainly on retail marketing management, sales, distribution, and channel management. He sits on the board of a retail marketing company and is the author of several business case studies and book chapters, and his academic articles have been published in the Strategic Entrepreneurship Journal and the Journal of Personal Selling and Sales Management. His case won the 2013 EFMD Case Writing Competition in the African Business Cases category. He is currently a member of the management board here at the Lagos Business School. Welcome to the show, sir. We're so happy to have you for the first time ever.
Thank you very much, Emma. It's a pleasure to be here at the podcast show.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. So today we'll be talking about and unraveling a topic, which is succeeding in Africa's informal markets, the hows and the whys. And I know that this is your area of expertise. You know, I read the book, Africa's Goldmine, A Guide to Winning Customers in Its Unstructured Market. And I know this conversation can't possibly cover a chapter of the book, but I guess if the viewers or the listeners want to hear more, they could just get the book. But we'll try our best to cover a couple of tenets in this interview. So you said in the book that, you know, over 70% of sub-Saharan Africa's workforce, you know, is in unstructured markets in Africa. And that's a lot. And it clearly shows why we need to study these informal and unstructured markets. So what unique characteristics would you say define Africa's informal markets, and why are they so important for businesses to understand?
So you're right. 70% of Africa's workforce currently resides within informal markets. Mm. 90% of women employed in Africa work in informal market settings. But interestingly, 90% of retail transactions that take place in Africa are from informal markets. So it's a huge market. Mm. It is a big route to sell products and services. It is the fastest way to reach customers in Africa. It is also one of the most patronized platforms for testing and trying new products and services. So it's huge. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes it different? I think what makes it different and unique is the way it's organized. On the outside, it looks chaotic. It looks like a mess. Some people say it's illegal. But in reality, there's a structure to that market. There's a design. And it is trust that puts those in that market together. Trust, frequent transactions that are not necessarily based on written contracts, but based on
relationships.
Yeah. And people work with their ethnic, religious, and family affiliates more than those who are not in that network. Mm. So it is a closely knit structure and at the same time, very huge. Mm. And this is why it has outstood the test of time. Many people have predicted that informal markets in Africa would die. But what we see is that they morph into a different form rather than go away completely.
That's amazing. Clearly, if the market is so large, businesses do have to look into it. Now, you mentioned how large the market is and how there's, you know, close-knit, you know, sectors. Is it possible for a business, like a new business coming into the market, how can they succeed? Is it possible? And could you give us some examples of businesses that have, you know, created their own structure in this unstructured or informal market? And how have they been able to identify the right consumer segments and adapt their strategies accordingly?
I've always said that Africa's informal markets are a hidden gem. And what that means is that success is possible, but success is only possible for the wise. Those who know how to decode and understand that. And success comes from changing the mindset, debunking mythical statements about this market. And I have two examples of organizations. So let's start with TeamApt, that has gone to create Moneypoint Microfinance Bank. TeamApt, under their structure, started the agency banking framework, which was really very interesting. They found a way through that channel to create or to scale in what concerns financial inclusion in a way that was different from what other people did, by going to the local communities where these informal market settings, informal businesses were, and working with people who they promoted as agents, as community leaders, and then training, onboarding them, supporting them, to the point that they've been able to have a base of over a million in that setting. This is one very interesting example. The other very interesting one is Dofield, the makers of Indomie. Before they came to Nigeria, Indomie was seen as not something to touch. Or should we say noodles were seen more. Some people called them maggots at the time. Excuse the example. But they, working at the local grassroots setting, came up with a formidable distribution structure that made it possible to transform noodles and Indomie from being seen as something that wasn't wanted to a full meal, which it has come to be, to the point that at the moment, Nigeria's average child, the consumption per head of noodles, of Indomie, for a Nigerian child, is larger than what an Asian adult consumes. In fact, at the moment, Nigeria's noodle consumption percentage is the highest in the world. And that all started from that grassroots penetration, understanding how this market works, and also not working with those myths that make people burn their fingers in this market.
Amazing. Thank you so much for those examples. Could you give us like a step-by-step guide on how other businesses can adapt these strategies accordingly?
Yes. So I proposed a framework called the MICE framework, M-I-C-E. So M stands for mastering the art of negotiation. In this kind of market, negotiating with key players is absolutely important. Sometimes local community leaders, people you see just walking, standing on the street, may have a lot more power than you ever envisaged. So understanding the culture of negotiation at the grassroots setting is very important. The second one is investing in talent. So you can't grow or have a strong presence in this market if you don't take talent development seriously for those you engage, supporting them to acquire the skills that they need to run those businesses properly. And then the C stands for a change in mindset. So again, here, it's just not possible to succeed there without changing and debunking those wrong assumptions of why these markets exist. And the last one is earning the trust of the market. Trust is very important. The whole engine supporting informal markets in Africa, that whole engine is driven by trust. And those who operate in this market need to be trust builders if they intend to succeed.
Amazing. We'd come back to this conversation on trust, but I'd like us to speak briefly on consumer education, because we know that in these unstructured markets, counterfeiting can be a huge problem for businesses. Since consumer education plays such a significant role in combating challenges like counterfeit products within unstructured markets, could you give us some examples of effective initiatives or campaigns that have been implemented in the past by some brands to address these issues?
One very good example is Power Oil. Power Oil is a brand that Tolaram Group, one of the brands that Tolaram Group owns. So there was the case of product adulteration. Some people infiltrated the informal markets and started selling an adulterated version of Power Oil. Mm-hmm. And people were taking it and using it to fry, to cook, mm-hmm. not knowing that it had some damaging effects on their health. Mm-hmm. And yet, those behind this fraudulent activity were so amorphous that Tolaram couldn't find exactly who was behind it. Mm-hmm. Who would you take to court? Who would you fight? Mm-hmm. Who would you litigate? So they decided their strategy would be educate rather than litigate, educate the customer. And so the way they went about it was to do a documentary, a very powerful through investigative journalism, to do a documentary that exposed the risks involved with buying adulterated oil. And they flooded the market with this campaign. And the consumers that they were targeting immediately boycotted. They were able to tell what was fake from what was real. And that was the way they averted what would have been a massive problem.
Amazing. Speaking to building trust, we know that it's very crucial for success in unstructured markets. Could you give us some examples of strategies that have earned the trust of market operators and consumers in unstructured and informal markets?
Yes. So I'm sure you've heard of Computer Village. Otiba. So that is the home of computer accessories in Nigeria.
Yes, in Nigeria.
It's amazing the numbers, the millions of dollars that pass through that market every day are huge. Now, the likes of Samsung and some of these brands have always wondered the best way to engage that market, knowing that some of those who sell there sell secondhand phones. And I don't want to say beyond that, the other kinds of things they sell, right? But they found a way. So, and the way they found is co-location, training, support, development, sharing, risk sharing, understanding, having some kind of partnerships with these guys where they tell them, look, for the repairs of phones and accessories, we'll refer our customers to you. Or rather, look, allow us to launch these accessories first, then you can follow with your own version. So there's some kind of gentleman's agreement. And trust here is just recognizing that these guys are a strong force to reckon with and giving them a chance to do their business right and also agreeing with them what you would partner with them on and what you would not tolerate. So I think it's more of negotiation and discussions.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So this conversation has been everything. I'm sure any listener would be able to take these principles and run with them. Before we go, to the business owner that's looking to infiltrate or expand in Africa's informal or unstructured markets, what parting words would you give? Like, how?
Use the MICE framework. Use the MICE framework. Master the art of negotiation, invest in talent, change your mindset, and the trust of the market. I think with the MICE framework, the chances of success will be higher.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much, sir. I was so grateful. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your valuable contributions to the topic. Thank you so much for tuning in to Insights Edge. Do stay tuned for more insightful episodes. That's all for this episode of Insights Edge by the Lagos Business School Management Hub. We're grateful to our distinguished guests and experts who shared their wisdom with us today. Their perspectives help us navigate the complex landscape of business in Africa, and we're honored to have them as a part of the Insights Edge community. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.